Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bernola and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm here with Nolan Haig, and you can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And sorry if the show's a little sloppy tonight on my part. I kind of got my eyes on this Golden State OKC game going on right now. So, but we have plenty to talk about here tonight. World Series, a great game last night, and we have some NFL and some other NBA talk to kind of go over if we have time. So should be a good night, and if I kind of zone out, just snap me back into it, I guess.
All right. I'm not watching the game, but I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. So, I mean, if we have to talk about it, we have to talk about it. So, let's get into it.
Yeah, all right. I guess we should start here by going over our picks from last week. We had a big night in NBA. It was opening night last Tuesday. So we picked three NBA games on that Tuesday. And the first one was Knicks at Cavs. We both thought the Cavs would win it. They did by a large margin, and they still haven't lost one tonight. In the first game here on TNT against the Celtics, and now I believe they're 5-0, the only undefeated team left in the NBA right now. So, Cavs look like they're ready to defend their throne here, even though all the talk has been centered around Golden State. Cleveland's still right there.
I mean, I hate to go back to OKC Golden State, but Oklahoma City is technically undefeated.
Oh,
right,
yeah. OKC is undefeated. Yeah, okay. They're the only undefeated team in the East, and OKC is the only one in the West.
Fair enough.
Right. Okay.
But, no, yeah. Cleveland, of course, picked up where they left off. You're kind of set up to win that game, especially getting your rings and all that, just having that crazy environment, especially with the World Series also starting that night. But, typical LeBron, triple-double. Kyrie had 29. And, the Knicks were still the Knicks, despite numerous new faces.
Yeah, pretty much. The Knicks, Derrick Rose has been looking pretty good, but they're still just, they don't mesh well together, I don't believe. And, I think that they're going to be lucky to finish 500 this year, but they are, but the Cavs are going to be a team to be reckoned with once again. Kyrie just doing his thing, and LeBron putting his name right back in MVP talks like he always does. So, definitely look for them to continue this role here. So, moving on here, the next game we had here was Jazz at Trailblazers. We both picked the Blazers in this one. Blazers ended up winning that, 113-104. Didn't really catch much of that one because that was the one game not televised, but I actually got that NBA League Pass now. Shout out. It's going to be a good season.
So now, when you get that, do you, have to get a special, certification to give out League Pass alerts, or just does that just come with the territory?
It comes with the territory, so.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
I'll be
cool. So you didn't have to, talk to anybody, so.
No.
Just got to use that at your own discretion, then.
Yeah, definitely. So,
I mean, it's hey, with great power, right?
Right. I mean, whatever works. So I'm pretty excited about that, though. Yeah, going back to the game, Damian Lillard had 39 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Not a bad first game. And, of course, his running mate, C.J. McCollum, finished with 25. So the Jazz hung in tough, though. Newest Jazz, Joe Johnson, actually had a really good game. He ended up with 29 points on 12 of 16. I think the Jazz are going to finally break into the playoffs this year, and they put up a good performance against a really good Trailblazers team.
They were actually ahead going into the fourth, and even late in the fourth. Damian Lillard just kind of went off there, had a couple big shots late. The Jazz definitely look good, especially with some guys they got that should be coming back from injury later. So, they'll be dangerous down the road.
Yeah, most definitely. And next was the finale of the night, Spurs at Warriors. It was the debut of the new-look Warriors with KD, and the Spurs spoiled the party. Honestly, we both went Warriors here, but we should have known that Pop and wasn't going to let that team beat them on that night. They have so much chemistry together, and Kawhi Leonard keeps asserting himself as a top-tier player in the league. So, and also LaMarcus Aldridge really played well down low. Not really sure why we went with Warriors. I mean, I know why we did, but kind of looking back on it, probably a bad decision on our part. Didn't expect 29-point win, but the Spurs.
No, was really hoping for the 31-point win.
Right, yeah, no.
No, but I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to say. Did the Heat, when, you know, LeBron left, did they lose that first game?
Yeah, they were 9-8 over their first 17 games before they.
Right, I remember
really
it was a little rough going there for a while. Obviously, the Warriors kind of seem to have bounced back a little better so far. I even read tonight, got reminded, I guess, that LeBron, in his return to Cleveland, actually lost that opening game too. So I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of pattern there with sometimes it just things just don't go perfect that first night out. It's always, you know, a new season, new experience. You just got to kind of get a feel for it. But, obviously the Spurs are still a really good team. I mean, they lost Tim Duncan, but, I mean, how much was he really playing anyway? Kawhi Leonard obviously was great. Upped his career high to 35 points. As far as the Warriors are concerned, they've got all year to figure out how they're going to play together. They've already got, wins over Portland and New Orleans, so I think they'll be fine.
I agree. I think that KD kind of meshes a little better than LeBron going with D-Wade. So I think they won't have as much of a rough patch, but they're definitely going to have the rough patches. It's always hard when new teams get a bunch of new players. It takes a little bit before they can finally gel. I think we talked about it, but yeah, I've seen people say that they could implode, and I just don't see how that's possible. I think their undoing, if there is an undoing, will be their lack of inside play. But we said that about LeBron and the Heat for 4 years, and look what they did. So we'll just have to see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I guess I can see the potential for there to be, I guess, animosity or tension within the team, but yeah, I don't see anything that could just completely derail the whole season. yeah, there's nothing there that's gonna make it bad enough that they're not gonna at least make the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, most definitely. But if they don't make it out of the Western Conference Finals, that won't be good. But
no.
Yeah, so.
But I mean,
yeah.
Don't know what that's gonna look like, I guess, quite yet. I mean, who knows how good, yeah, teams like the Spurs or whatever are gonna look. So.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I guess our last pick before our upsets, we did Eagles Cowboys Sunday night. Cowboys won 29-23 in overtime. What was your upset?
Oh, we don't wanna talk about the fourth quarter comeback by Dak Prescott. You know, his late touchdown throw to Dez Bryant.
What happened?
And then how the Eagles didn't even get the ball in overtime because
what
Dak
happened?
Just marched down the field.
What happened?
Oh, you didn't know?
I don't remember. No.
Oh, you blacked out? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I don't remember any of that happened.
Okay. What? Did you hear about what happened to Josh Huss?
Yeah, I did hear that.
Oh, okay. So you heard about that, though. Didn't hear about how the game ended, though.
What game?
Huh. The Cowboys-Eagles game.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, yeah. It was kind of rough. I mean, you know, the Eagles are kind of coming back down to earth a little bit, but there's still a lot of positives there. I mean, Wentz definitely still looks poised at times. He just needs to improve his play, I guess, over the course of the game.
I think they got very conservative when they got the game, and they also should have tried the 53-yard field goal there when they punted it late, made it a 13-point game. But, you know, can't go back now. I don't get why they didn't try the field goal, though, because Caleb Sturgis had already hit a 50-yarder in the game, so you know he's capable. But, yeah, Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I know. You mean you can – you can make some excuse about. Yeah, that's. I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, you. Yeah, it's kind of scary to say it, but yeah, I mean, maybe you know, picked up one too many things. But then again, I mean, that's not just Andy Reid. That's, you know, the vast majority of football coaches for whatever reason, they just don't like to take that risk. It's, oh, we can kick the field goal. Well, if you miss the field goal, then you know, obviously field position, I guess, but. And instead of punting, but I mean, I don't know. It just always seems to come down to, or the traditional way of thinking is kind of that play not to lose instead of play to win. And yeah, it's still just too prevalent.
Yeah.
More Madden players need to be head coaches or at least be the guys in charge of making these decisions.
Yeah. I mean, Dak definitely was pretty awful for the majority of the game. The Eagles really shut him down for the most part, other than one rushing touchdown. But he didn't look that great. And then those last two drives, he looked like he has all season. And that proved to be the Eagles' undoing, I guess.
In which, I mean, I don't know this specifically, but I mean, of course, you kind of that just the situation by what defense gets played. They go conservative, and that just allows the Cowboys to or Dak Prescott to sit back and do what he's comfortable doing. And if you're not going to take that chance to try and win, then you get come back on.
Yeah, basically. Happens all the time in sports. You take your foot off the gas, and teams will make you pay for it, especially if they're good teams. So, Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, especially as wide open as just the NFL still is at this point in the season. The Cowboys look like one of the better teams, and the Eagles are definitely just seem to be on the fringe right now. But, I mean, but that's the thing is, I mean, God, the Cowboys the best team in the NFC?
I think that's to be seen still. I don't know.
I guess you can say Minnesota, but, I mean, between the two of them, they both seem to be pretty beatable, but they also seem to be beating most of the people that they're playing.
Yeah.
And they're more complete than other teams. I mean, in the AFC, it's the Patriots and everybody else, but, I mean, I don't really see any team in the NFC that I'd be afraid of.
Yeah, no, Minnesota looked awful on Sunday, and that was the team
right.
You were thinking.
Their offense
is
starting to catch up with them.
Yeah, but the Packers started to look like they kind of got a little roll going on offense. Aaron Rodgers looked a lot better than he has all season, so they're always a threat if Aaron Rodgers can go. But they definitely have a huge problem at running back, and they.
But now North Turner's gone, so.
Yeah, Nile Davis got released.
Oh, man. All right, well. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's go on. What was your upset?
My upset was Oklahoma State over West Virginia, and I nailed it. Oklahoma State ended up having their way with West Virginia, won it 37-20. I didn't catch any of the game, just saw the score, so that's really all I got for you.
Yeah, I mean, me too for my upset. I picked Wisconsin over Nebraska. They won in overtime, 23-17.
Yeah, I actually listened to that game a little bit. Pretty good game.
Wisconsin was able to hold Nebraska scoreless after correct me if I'm wrong, I guess, Dare Ogunbowale, 11-yard touchdown run.
I'll go with that.
All right, cool. But, yeah, Wisconsin, it's their third win over a top-10 program. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
All right. let's get into some World Series talk here. Before we do that, I went 3-2 this week. You were 4-1. We both got our upsets. So on the season, you are 13-7. I'm 11-9. But I am 3-1 with my upsets, and you are 2-2. So staying pretty close here.
All right. Okay. So I guess where do you want to start with this World Series? I mean, do you want to kind of talk about before last night or just talk about last night and then just kind of go from there?
Let's just talk about last night. I mean, before that, they were pretty much even team. Cleveland won 3 out of 4, and then, of course, Chicago won the last 3. So I think that through the first 6 games, it was pretty even matchup. I mean, their pitching matchups went Cleveland's way at first, and in the end, it went Chicago's way, I'd have to say. So, but Game 7 last night looked like the Cubs were going to have an easy win. But then Rajay Davis hits that 2-run home run, and I said, oh, there's no way this team's winning now. Curse is real, and the Cubs are never going to win. Of all people to hit a home run, it was Rajay Davis. And, I thought it was bad news for the Cubs at that point.
See, this is where obviously it was a great game. And it'll go down as a classic. you know, all the historical significance, the storylines, just everything that happened in it. I mean, you get a leadoff home run, like you've got pitchers getting left in too long, pitchers getting pulled too early, all this crazy stuff. But I never felt like the Cubs were in danger of losing. Like, yes, obviously when you get the home run to tie it up, that was definitely bad. But I mean, I just didn't feel like it was a big deal. They obviously, Chapman got out of the inning, but I was assuming Chapman was going to then come out of the game. That was the only time I guess I could say I was actually worried, is in the bottom of the ninth when you could clearly tell that Aroldis Chapman had nothing left. I mean, it's kind of hard to say that when he's only throwing 97, 98, but that's, you know, that's the life completely gone off of his fastball. And it almost cost him. But luckily he was able to get out of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in the ninth inning he was throwing 90% sliders.
Definitely. Everything to Kipnis until that last pitch was a slider. He finally was able to run one up on him, but it was only something like 98.
1-2-3.
But I mean that's the other thing is pitcher fatigue in this series just seemed to kind of get everything. I mean, obviously you've got Kluber. He'd gone on 3 days rest, I think, like three times already in the postseason. And I mean, you got him pitching for the third time in this series, and he just wasn't quite as sharp as he was. Francona left him in too long, but I mean, you just got to wonder, I mean, how much was he trusting his other pitchers? I mean, Andrew Miller came in and didn't quite look like Andrew Miller. He gave up a home run to David Ross.
actually gave up.
And then you've got Chapman not looking good. The only pitcher that actually looked like he had it all together last night was Kyle Hendricks, and he got pulled way too early.
Yeah, that was an awful move by Joe Maddon.
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, he just walked Carlos Santana, but I mean, he should have gotten a strikeout. There was a terrible call, like two pitches before the walk, and I feel there was two outs. I feel like you let him at least finish that inning, and then you can consider bringing him out again. I mean, I don't know why we needed to bring Lester in at that point when you'd stressed you want to bring him in for a clean inning the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know why you bring in Lester with the man on. I think you let Hendricks get one more batter. I think they had a 5-1 lead at that point.
Yeah.
So they had some room, and I didn't understand the move. I didn't understand a couple of moves by Maddon. One was sending Chapman back out in the ninth. That ended up working out for him. There was another one. I can't remember what it was, but the Javi Baez bunt with the 3-2 count.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. That made
awful.
No sense.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Run on third. One out. Two strikes, and you're gonna bunt.
He definitely got bailed out by his team last night, but I think the Cubs ultimately proved that they were the best team in baseball,
all
season long. And who would have thought we'd say that the Cubs are World Series champs?
Yeah, no, that's kind of like I was saying. I didn't feel like they were really in danger because they had been the better team all night. I mean, Cleveland needed a pass ball to score two runs, and needed just the most improbable home run to tie it, to stay in it. I mean, I didn't feel like they were going to get that walk off. Just a crazy game. I mean, then you get a rain delay even that would have, I probably wouldn't have stayed up to watch it if it had been any longer than maybe a half hour. I was tired, but
what was it, 12 minutes?
Thank you. Yeah, it was like not even 15 minutes. So I was like, all right, cool. I guess we're just coming right back. So I don't know. What's the point in that? But anyway, yeah, you come back, Schwarber gets on, and you end up moving the pinch runner to second, and of course they walk Rizzo, which I mean, obviously it's logically it's the right thing to do, but I mean, if you've watched Ben Zobrist over the last 2 years, all he does is come up with the perfect hit in the perfect situation, or the perfect bat plate appearance in the perfect situation, whether it be a walk, whether it be a sack fly. He comes up with a double or a single, whatever you need. Ben Zobrist has done it the last two postseasons, and he definitely deserved MVP. He's the perfect teammate, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I lost my train of thought there. We had just got done texting right before that about Ben Zobrist, saying that there's no one we'd rather have at the plate, and you said, yeah, I'd rather pitch to Anthony Rizzo, and of course, Zobrist comes up at the right time, so huge night for him. He ended up getting that World Series MVP, much deserved, and he keeps playing well, even though he's, what, 35, 34 years old, so definitely a great player to have.
Yeah, ridiculous. Just didn't try to do too much with anything. Just got the hit that he needed, and there it was. But crazy. I never knew. I never really expected until this year, I guess, that I could see the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. I mean, it was a crazy series, and good for them for winning it. I mean, I don't know. It's just always a great story when you the long suffering fan base finally gets. I mean, the ultimate suffering fan base finally gets that salvation.
Yeah, most definitely. Crazy to think we have. We get to watch the Royals the last 2 years before this, and the Cubs now. So a couple of long droughts. But then just going back, we got to watch the Red Sox break their curse. We've got to watch Cleveland break their curse for the city. So we've got to live through some pretty good history in sports, I guess, here.
And I guess I've seen some reflection on it this morning. I mean, 2016 has actually been a pretty crazy sports year for titles. I mean, the Super Bowl, I guess I wouldn't necessarily say was super exciting. But I mean, you got the ridiculous NCAA championship game, a crazy all-time NBA finals, and now an all-time World Series. The Olympics were amazing, at least for America. been a pretty good sports year.
Yeah, most definitely. I want to just go ahead and say Kevin Durant is eating right now. 18 points on 7-9 shooting, 3-3 from downtown. So, there's still 8 minutes left before halftime.
All right.
To throw that in there.
Cool.
Yeah, so...
we don't get a Russ update, though?
He has, like, 7 points on 2-4 shooting.
All right.
Yeah. So,
okay.
All right. But is there anything else you want to talk about with the World Series? Anything about the Indians, I guess, or anything of that nature?
Just that, I mean, I was just really impressed with the Indians. I mean, they had some serious blows to their pitching staff earlier in the year and were still able to win a pretty tough division. and then survive an intense AL playoffs. I mean, those are good teams that they beat. Eventually, it kind of caught up with them, not having those arms, at least the starters, like we were talking about, Corey Kluber and Andrew Miller, and those guys just kind of got fatigued in the end. But they're a great team. They got a good young core. Francisco Lindor is insane, and I still don't look forward to having to play him. But no, I mean the Cubs are even are probably going to be even better. They're even more talented, and if they can figure out that bullpen, you could see a pretty dominant run here over the next few years, especially if they start paying those guys. I guess last point, I guess, is that, I mean, Theo Epstein's probably the greatest general manager in the history of sports, period. I mean, you can't, it's hard to argue otherwise now at this point.
Yeah. He is, he's GOAT, and, I think you pretty much nailed it. The Indians are going to be right back in the thick of things next year. I don't think they really lose anyone significant. I think Mike Napoli is a free agent, a couple other guys, but nothing too major. So that'll definitely be fun to watch. I think the Royals will be back healthy. I think that those two are really going to battle it out all year. So should be a good season. I think baseball's back. I think baseball's really starting to get some good young players in the game, and it's making it really exciting here.
Yeah, no, definitely been kind of a youth movement, it would seem, in the last few years, and there's just so many young stars coming up it's really going to be a bright future for the sport. Going to be a lot of competition for major awards, and just a lot of great plays to be seen, and hopefully a lot of great postseason moments.
Yeah, most definitely. So going to be a lot of fun. So KD just rejected Westbrook on a layup here, so that's fun.
That's not fair. He's like a foot and a half taller than him.
No, it was a lot of fun.
It'd be like me blocking an 8-year-old.
Oh no. Anyway. I guess we should move on here. You got any a hot tweet this week?
Oh, we got other stuff to talk about.
Oh, I mean, you want to? I just
do we? I don't know. Do we have anything else? I don't have anything else.
I don't really.
All right, I got a hot tweet. Actually, you know what? I got two, just for fun.
Okay.
First one. Fun baseball fact, the St. Louis Cardinals have blown a 3-1 series lead four times in 1968, 1985, of course, 1996, and 2012.
All right.
And then my second one is, the last time the Cubs won the World Series, Bill Snyder was entering his sixth year at K-State.
And Perry Ellis was a senior in high school.
Yeah, no, yeah, he was. Actually, I heard he was still a sophomore.
All right. I only have one hot tweet, so.
Okay.
But I kind of got to explain this one. It was a tweet by NFL Memes. It has five pictures, and above it all, it says 2016 WTF. And one is of Leonardo DiCaprio winning an Oscar. One is with Donald Trump running for president. One is for the Cavs winning a championship. One is for the Cubs. And the best part is the Cowboys with the 6-1 record. That made me laugh a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
strange things going on. But, oh, man. Yeah, it's what a time to be alive, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait till 2017.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's better.
Yeah, so.
At least in general. I mean, the sports should stay at the high level.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Maybe Theo Epstein will come be the GM for the Eagles and things will be good.
Oh, yeah? No,
yeah.
Well, I mean, no, he's going to have to go to, like, the Vikings or something next. He's got to get like,
no.
Minnesota a title.
No, Minnesota
no.
doesn't need a title. No, Philly hasn't
okay.
had one in forever. All right, let's go here. Hot picks. We have an NBA game here, Saturday night, 7:30. 3-1 Clippers visit the 4-1 Spurs. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Spurs there.
All right, I'm going to take the visiting Clippers. So, yeah,
okay.
Get the Clippers on that. All right. For our college football, our first matchup here is Saturday night at 7 o'clock, number 10 Nebraska. 7-1, travels to Columbus, Ohio to take on number 6 Ohio State, who is also 7-1. Who are you liking that one?
I'm going to have to stay with Ohio State. I still don't trust Nebraska. Obviously, they lost to Wisconsin. Ohio State's a better team than Wisconsin.
All right. Also don't trust Nebraska, but I'm starting not to trust Ohio State. They've looked pretty shaky here lately. I don't know what's wrong with them, but not looking like the same team. However, that being said, I am going to have to go with the Buckeyes in this one. I just don't see any way that Nebraska can win that game. But I said that about Penn State, too, so who knows.
Yeah. Okay. I guess next up we got Alabama and LSU. Who you got there?
I am taking LSU. Death Valley, big upset here. Their stadium at night is one of the toughest places to play. Alabama historically plays bad there, doesn't play bad there. They've had some rough times there. I like LSU. Their offense has really stepped it up ever since Les Miles was fired and Ed Orgeron took over. And I think that this is going to be a huge win for LSU. And I look for Leonard Fournette to have a pretty good game. I think more in the passing game than in the running game, though. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. It's definitely got to be Alabama. Nick Saban got a bye week before this game, so he's ready for whatever changes may have been made since Les Miles left. I don't think LSU's. I mean, Leonard Fournette might have a good game, but I just don't see LSU winning.
All right. Well, we will have to see. But you are going to be wrong.
Okay. Got an upset?
I do. We got an NFL game to pick here. Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Yeah, both 6-2. However, the Raiders are 1-2 at home and 5-0 on the road. They're at home in this one. Who you like?
I honestly, it doesn't really matter who wins or loses this game, I guess, as far as the Chiefs are concerned. I definitely am going to just have to lean Broncos. The Raiders have mostly feasted on weak defenses this year. The only time they've played a decent defense in Kansas City, they scored 10 points in the first half and then got shut out in the second half. Broncos are going to, are going to play good defense, and they're going to do enough on offense. Just, you know, typical frustrating Broncos win.
All right. I am actually going to have to go with the Broncos as well here. The Raiders, they played teams with a combined 15-21 record. That's their 6 wins. Their 2 losses were against the only teams above 500 that they played. And, I'm going to have to go with the Broncos because of that.
Yeah, mini hot take. I could totally see the Raiders finishing 8-8.
It's very well possible. I don't think they're quite there yet. But they're beating up on the teams that they should be beating up on. So, but also a couple close games.
I wouldn't even say that. They're needing like crazy fourth quarter miracle, ballsy plays to win these games against these bad teams.
Yeah, I guess not beating, but they're winning the games they should be winning. Beating up on them, I guess it's bad. Bad terminology, but they're winning the games that they should win. I'm not a believer. We'll see Sunday.
Yeah, and they've got to play the Broncos twice. They gotta go to Arrowhead. They got to play San Diego again. I mean, they could lose the rest of their divisional games.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So. All right. You got an upset?
I do. I'm going to go Iowa over Penn State.
Oh, all right. I don't know. That was.
You didn't like that?
Yeah. I like how Penn State became an upset after 1 week, and then they scored like 70 points last week. Anyway, you want to hear my upset? I'm going big here.
Okay.
All right. I don't think you're ready for this. The Browns over the Cowboys Sunday at noon.
Oh, my God. You know what's crazy?
What?
My hot take. It's Browns over the Cowboys.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
All right. Yeah. Yep.
I can just totally see the Cowboys going in and laying an egg.
Yep, that's kind of what I think is going to happen here. And then I think we get Tony Romo.
Woo! Oh, what? Oh, okay. So that's your hot take?
That's my hot take.
Romo coming back.
Yeah, well,
you want to give us one final Warriors Thunder update before we get out of here?
Actually perfect timing. Durant just nailed another 3. He's got 21 and the Warriors are up 14 and make it 17. Durant hits another 3.
All right.
So
just setting up for the epic 50 point half from Russ in the second half.
No, KD's going to get 50 though.
No, Russ is going to score 50 in the second half.
No, KD is going to score 50, and Russ is going to
score
like 17.
He's going to score 22 in the third and 28 in the fourth.
No, not happening. Not happening.
Yep, totally happening.
Hey, KD for 3. Oh, he pulled up from like half court there. It was a heat check. All right.
Okay. That team's just already warping his mind.
He did it.
Just
going to
be shooting up from half all the damn time.
He took a 3 in preseason and turned around before it went in. And I was like, well, he's fitting in nicely. So.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, I guess that wraps up this week of hot takes. We never get to do this, so we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we need like a clever sign-off line. Like,
we do.
Keep them hot.
And stay hot. No, I don't know.
right, I'm out.
Stay hot. Stay hot and take it easy.
Yep, we tried. We tried, guys.
We're out.